Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Radio Free Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and so are you. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. It is 11:01 Saturday morning on this beautiful day in the American Redoubt. I was outside of the American Redoubt this week on business, patriot-related business, and I can't tell you how good it is to be back inside free territory, the safe haven and refuge. The American Redoubt is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Washington and Oregon. It's what we call a safe haven and a refuge for conservative, God-fearing Christian patriots who are strategically relocating here in the wake of this leftist, globalist, communist onslaught that's brought the republic down to its knees. So we're banding together, and that's what the American Redoubt is, and Radio Free Redoubt is the platform, the voice of that movement, which is going full speed ahead. I hear from so many people that are encouraged by the message, which is what we're trying to do, is encourage you and inform you and inspire you, and hopefully let you know that you're not alone and that there are others waiting for you to join them for the days ahead, which will no doubt be very challenging. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're just kind of we're going to do a free for all this in segment 2 and 3. I'm going to bring Fox 519 on. So we'll talk about the economy, what's going on, but we're just going to talk about what's happening in the former Republic of the United States and what that might mean for us tomorrow, some of the challenges we might be facing, and how we can prepare for these challenges ahead. And that's our mission. That's what we're doing here. Write this number down, 1-877, it's toll free, 877-999-7684. Our regular listeners in the AM 630 reach. And for those of you that are listening outside in occupied territory and outside the coverage within the American Redoubt on live streaming, welcome to all of you and welcome to our new listeners. Great to have you with us. I need to process this week before I really talk about it a whole lot, because there's some stuff that I want to make sure the timing is right, how I talk about different things and everything that happened, because there is a lot of activity going on within the leadership movement. And I want to offer you some encouragement. Right now, the patriots are feeling a sense of despair because they see their country crumbling and they don't see anybody doing about it. And you can't trust any politicians. Nobody cares. And it's just us. It's like me and my family, and we're the only patriots left in America. But that's not true. In fact, leadership are working on solutions. They're working on ways that we can face this, all these challenges ahead that we're going to be facing together. So don't think that nothing's happening. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's very encouraging for me. I want to pass that on to you as much as I can to let you know that there are clergy, there are law enforcement, there are statesmen, and I use that word very carefully because you can't trust a politician. But politicians aren't going to save us. What we need are statesmen. And there's definitely a difference. And we're going to be talking to some of those statesmen in the coming weeks and talking about how we can prepare as like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that want to protect and defend our Judeo-Christian heritage, Americanism, all of those things that we value, all of the things that make us who we are, that make us patriots. That's Americanism. And we need statesmen who will stand for those things, as well as all the other leadership in the conservative Christian leadership community, your activists, and your clergy, and your law enforcement, and your statesmen. And so things are happening. I want you guys to be encouraged and let you know that. But anyway, I'm going to I'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks, about some of the things that we can do, things that you can do. And we've already been talking about this. The assemblies are standing up all across the American Redoubt, and this is very encouraging, because if you're fairly new to Radio Free Redoubt, or you know some of the other influential Patriot leadership in the region, we've been working very closely with citizens in each community to develop these assemblies, which our founding fathers did at the beginning of our country, where they could articulate their grievances, where they could band together for a common cause, where they could stand against the tyrant together in unity. And in modern day terms, it takes all of these causes and pulls them together. Well, actually, I'm going to hold off, and we'll get into that in segment two. So anyway, I just want you guys to be encouraged. I think right now would probably be a good time to get into the news and commentary, which we have called or renamed the latest edition of the Chronicles of the Death of America. And we actually could probably put a subtitle onto this section called this is the segment for the preponderance of evidence of cultural insanity, because that's basically what we're really faced with. It's sad. This morning, the chief petty officer passed away, the one that was injured in this shooting this week. He has passed away. That brings the deaths up to 5 from the 4 Marines who were murdered by an Islamic terrorist jihadist. And we're going to be seeing more of this. This is part of the briefing that we, in fact, I was in a intelligence briefing on the Islamic threat, the radicalization of, or the radicalization coming to the surface in the Muslim communities and the mosques that are directly involved with helping these young jihadis take things to the next level, and the terrorist groups that are supporting them. But as we were in this briefing, we got this break that, hey, there's an active shooter right now situation on a military recruiting facility. And as things unfolded, you know, of course, everybody's saying, you know, I wonder what the guy's name was. And sure enough, it was, you know, a good Irish name, Abdulaziz. But they're reporting the Marine's killer set off no red flags. This is in the Washington Post. Hey, we had no idea. There's no red flags there, right? No red flags to counterterrorism units. Why? Because there are red flags all over this, and there are people that dispute that. The official claims coming from the top-level FBI right now, there are congressmen who are disputing this, who also sit on the counterterrorism or, you know, Homeland Security board. They're like, what do you mean there's no red flags? Well, maybe there wasn't any red flags because they're too busy watching the constitutionalists to see what type of radical thing they're going to do next. You know, what's the next what's the next shooting they're going to do? Who are these constitutionalists? Whose head are they going to cut off next? Right? So this is why we say the news is now becoming the presentation for the preponderance of evidence for cultural insanity, because we are seeing the effects of this mind-numbing insanity come to fruition. So Abdulaziz travels to the Middle East, his acquisition of several firearms, and his recent online musings about the meaning of Islam were coming under fresh examination as hundreds of federal agents sought to reconstruct his movements and mindset. And get this, this is Edward Reinhold, the special agent in charge of the FBI's office in Knoxville, Tennessee, you know where this happened. you know, happened in Tennessee. He told reporters in this press release, "At this time, we have no indication he was inspired by or directed by anyone other than himself." You don't see any ties to terrorist organizational jihad influence here. He could have just come up with the idea all on his own. Now, we have Muslims living in America for decades, and all of a sudden we start getting people's heads cut off. We start getting people murdered, shot, gunned down. Simultaneously, we have groups overseas that are putting out a recruiting campaign, but you're not convinced there's any ties here. I'll tell you what, if this Edward Reinhold, he's special agent in charge, pull him. He shouldn't be in charge of any investigation if his official statement is there is no indication that he was inspired by anyone other than himself. There's all kinds of indicators here. I mean, a child could figure this out, which means he's either grossly incompetent or he's being disingenuous and dishonest. Either case, pull him. As investigators sought to decipher the motives of the gunman, what possibly could they have been? Probably his motives were just to test out his rifle, make sure it's working right. In a gun-free zone. There's another case right there. In a gun-free zone where blood is shed. Thanks, Obama. Actually, that goes back to Carter. That was Carter, wasn't it? President Carter on all federal facilities. Of course, if they rent a little office in a strip mall, it's instantly, you know, a federal facility. So the recruiting office is now a gun-free zone because no firearms are allowed on military installations or government property. Why? Why weren't these? Well, that's probably going to change. Actually, the governor in Florida is looking at methods to increase the security at recruiting centers. And I'm sure others are going to be looking at this as well. So maybe they'll need metal detectors, 1,000-foot perimeter around all recruiting stations. But see, it's not just going to stop at recruiting stations, because what do we historically have seen? If just go to Iraq, go to Afghanistan, go to Nigeria, go to Syria, any example you want to pick. They attack police stations. They attack military recruiting centers. They attack polling stations. Those are the top three that just come to mind. So you're going to protect every voting polling station, every recruiting office, and every military facility. They're going to gravitate towards soft targets. You go ahead and harden that targets, they're going to shift over to sporting events or any other gathering. They're going to start storming Christian churches and Jewish synagogues. Well, that's actually already happened. The tempo is going to increase on those type of attacks. This is our future. This is not a trend. And as I said before, go armed everywhere. Now, we live in a different world. Be prepared to confront evil immediately. As investigators sought to decipher the motives of the gunman who targeted U.S. troops in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they also began to confront the uncomfortable question of whether counterterrorism agencies are reaching the practical limits of what they can do to detect homegrown plots. They're basically saying they're overwhelmed. This problem is becoming so big, we don't think we can keep up. And that's what one of them actually came right out and said. I mean, obviously, this is what it's going to come down to. We don't have enough funding. We need more funding. We need more powers. We need to take away more liberties from American citizens who are not terrorists. They're actually terrorists by definition. And they need more expert testimony from the SPLC on how to detect homegrown terrorists, right? Because we all know it's the constitutionalists, it's veterans, it's returning veterans, it's homeschoolers, it's proponents of a border and enforcing that border. Those are the homegrown terrorists. I mean, just ask the SPLC, people that fly Gadsden flags. There's the terrorists, right? You watch those guys. We don't want to be caught, you know, discriminating. They said some of the weapons were purchased legally and some of them may not have been. So they don't know. This should have just stopped right there. Some of the weapons were purchased legally. Well, we got to fix that problem. How was he able to legally purchase those firearms? We need to you know, fix that gap. And these guys can't bring themselves to say this was an Islamic, this was a terrorist, this was Muslim. In fact, they had a CNN expert live doing the coverage during the CNN live coverage of the Chattanooga shooting on Thursday. CNN national security analyst, I wouldn't use him again, Tom Fuentes, wasn't entirely sure that shooter Muhammad Yused Abdulaziz's name indicates he was a Muslim. He says, now that we have a name, the key questions are what? Asked the anchor. And he said, first of all, John, I know what the name sounds like, but we don't know it's a Muslim name. I'm serious. Did you guys hear this? I was on the road. So maybe you guys already did. Maybe other, this has already been covered in other areas. I'm like, have we lost our minds? The answer to that, of course, is yes. That was a rhetorical question. Yes, we have lost our minds in this country. Because we got his name now. It's Muhammad Yused Abdulaziz. But hey, I know what it sounds like. I know what this looks like. So as he's, there's a terrorist attack going on down on 123 Elm Street right now. Well, okay, I know how it looks, but we don't know for sure if that's really a terrorist attack going on. Oh my goodness. This is just great. And WorldNet Daily just ran a piece saying that the exploding Muslim immigration problem is overwhelming the FBI. It backs up what they've already said. This expansive visa program makes it impossible to track them all. Their words. They're admitting that they cannot track all these guys. We're overwhelmed. And not to mention, they're not even focused on the terrorists. They're focused on American citizens that are patriots. The Homeland Security chair warns that of lone wolf attacks. This is old news. For months, U.S. counterterrorism authorities have been warning of the danger of attacks by individuals inspired but not necessarily directed by Islamic State groups. And this is consistent with other intelligence that we've already seen. One of the briefings that I got, it was a group of patriot leadership. Anybody that had an effective following and impact and influence in the patriot community in a movement directly involved with, basically you have the ear of a lot of people or political power, political clout, or you're in a law enforcement position or something like that. We all got directly contacted and invited to this conference. And there's a former FBI agent, patriot, strong patriot, definitely in our camp. He gave one briefing tying all of these. John Guandolo, I got his book, Raising a Jihad Generation, Understanding the Muslim Brotherhood Movement in America, providing as evidence tying these terrorist organizations to all of the mosques that are springing up in our cities across America. Amazing. But what I wanted to say was this former CIA analyst, and she's a Middle East analyst as well, but great gal, I got to meet her, and she gave a presentation that basically backs all this stuff up. She's saying the message of ISIS to Western recruits is this. She said, stop calling them lone wolf people. They're not lone wolves. These are individual operative jihadists. And but they're saying, ISIS is saying, come to the so-called caliphate, and if you can't, kill somebody. Kill somebody where you are. They want to invite people to go to Syria and Iraq to fight. But if you can't come to Iraq or Syria, then kill where you are. They're under orders. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and we'll be right back.
there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Readout, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is the Voice of the American Readout, segment 2, here at 6:30 a.m. coming out of Spokane. And for all of you live streaming listeners, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We've got codename Fox519 on the line with us, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. So much going on in the world. I thought, you know what? I didn't get a chance to follow up with a couple of prospective guests this week just because of my schedule. And Fox and I were just talking about all of the stuff just coming unraveled. And it's really strange. So I said, let's get on the air and let's talk about some of this stuff instead of just doing a 1 minute eye on the economy. Let's turn this into a conversation and open up the phone lines. See if anybody else wants to weigh in on this. Talk about not just identifying the problems, but also looking at solutions, because we don't. There's tons of people pointing out the problems. We also need to point to some solutions, and also always remember our hope is not in man or any elected official, statesman, or anything. It's Jesus. It's Christ, our Lord. He's our hope. So, but we are going to stand together in unity as believers and face this tyrant, in the strength of the Lord. Fox 519, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's good to be back with you, brother.
And hopefully I can get you your audio. I just want to let if our engineer there can if you have any problems, just let me know. OK, so we can tweak and adjust on our end, because I got Fox 519 calling in direct. And so how are you doing? How's your week?
Very, very, very busy. The world of monitoring what's going on in the world is it's exhausting at some points because there's so much going on out there, especially with what's been going on in Europe and in Greece, and then also kind of watching things here in the American markets as well. I think that, yes, more and more and more things are kind of coming to a head, and it's interesting. Yeah, there's an eye in the economy at a minute. It's really tough to cover everything that's going on out there. I mean, everything from what's been going on in Greece to what's been going on here. So want to make sure I'm coming through okay on you.
Yeah. Hey, okay. The Greece went ahead and they took the deal in Europe. And I want to talk about this real quick because, and then I want to go back to what I was talking about during the kind of the news and commentary section. We'll pick that up where I left off.
Sure.
But, with Greece, they took the deal. Now, what are the implications of that?
Well, now that they've borrowed the additional $50+ billion, I mean, obviously that goes back in their general coffers, but there's still the option of having to write down the debt and do the negotiations. I mean, so they've got their two houses have approved that deal. But the biggest thing I think you got to look at is that they've again sold their sovereignty, that, you know, the implications of that are now they are slaves to the central bank once again. They were right there on the edge of doing something amazing for their people. Yeah, it would have been a really, really tough 3 or 4 months. But at the same time, they caved. Varoufakis being out, he was the strong one there. Tsipras caved. He didn't have Varoufakis to back him. He went in and everybody sold their sovereignty and said, yep, we'll go back under the slavery of a central bank. They could have done something great here. But the implications of this is that the ECB and the IMF have shown what a basically what big bullies they are. I mean, they were talking about doing haircuts to the depositors. And that is something that as a nation begins to look at default, they're going to have to realize they're going to have to sacrifice something. See, I think that's the biggest lesson we can learn out of this is that everybody, they're not ready. They're not ready to sacrifice what truly has to be done. I mean, take Greece, for example, and apply it to America. When our financial system begins to finally collapse, and it will at some point, we know it's going to, are the American people willing to take and make the sacrifice it's going to need to once again declare that we are a sovereign nation?
Well, here's the problem that they've created, though. They've created a culture of dependency. So I don't know if it matters to the people if you say, look, this is going to hurt for a little while, 3 or 4 months. All right. But in the long term, this is going to be better for us. The people that would be rioting and burning the town to the ground don't get that. I mean, because I can't eat today, because I can't get my money out of the ATM because the government stole it. That angers me, and I'm gonna break something. And even if the government was honest enough with them not to steal their money and seize their accounts, I think that if they just reasoned with the people, the people are not reasonable because of this. I want me, mine, my, mine. What this doctrine that's kind of just been reinforced and instilled into them that if they don't get theirs, they're really going to have a massive civil unrest is what they were preparing for. That was their biggest fear. At least that's what it appeared to be their biggest fear. I'm sure they got other fears.
Oh, you know, I definitely would agree with that. I think that it's amazing to watch the selfish nature of people as we're kind of, you know, progressing down the road here. And you're right. We do have a culture of dependence. And I think that has been, you know, as our good buddy Matt Chase says, we have to be a self-reliant, God-loving, liberty-loving Christian. And we're not self-reliant enough. And I think even if they did come and they did go to the people and say, you know, this is going to hurt for 3 or 4 months. Yeah, there is going to be a period in time where we're going to see exactly what we saw on the eve of the vote. We're going to see riots. We're going to see anger. We're going to see a huge amount of rage because, yeah, people can't eat. And maybe we hearken back to what, 6-7 months ago when the ATM cards down in Florida were being shut down. You know, yes. And that was just an accident. Or I think actually up in Detroit or Minneapolis too, there was one. But even the opposite end of the spectrum, when the EBT cards had no limit for a period of 12 hours, and we saw photos come out of the Walmarts down in Florida, down there. And Prepper Recon's world, where it was like shopping carts loaded down, how quickly that escalated. So I think, yeah, it's hard because I don't think we're going to, when we go through that period in time, things are going to collapse. They're going to collapse very quickly. But at the same time, what is going to emerge from that? I think, guys, obviously, our mission here at Radio Free Readout has been to be a part of that rebuilding process. But we've got to look at what do we have to deal with in the short term? And that's the implications that Greece is caved and they saw what could come at them and they were just terribly frightened, like, oh, we can't handle that, we can't do that, and you know, but there would have been something greater that would have come out of it. Now, do I think that this is only a short-term fix? Greece really truly isn't changing their behavior, you know. Think of it. Like a yeah
you a just bratty nailed kid. It You just nailed it. Okay, even if you went to the people, I've been waiting for the opportunity to say this. They have fostered an environment of distrust, and they've earned it. They have earned the distrust. This is like giving a credit card to a heroin addicted teenage child, right? And they keep asking for money, and you know they're going to squander it, they're going to waste it, they're going to misuse it. And we're not talking about giving them something that they've earned. We're talking about just giving it to them because they just want it, because they've gotten themselves in so much debt doing, you know, stupid things and making bad decisions. And now they're asking for another $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
Promising, absolutely. I really, really promise this time, you know, I'll start being more responsible. And this is why the people don't – it's a combination between a cultural of dependency, and I want mine and me and my I right now, and also combined with – distrust. We don't trust you with our money. This is what the Greek people are saying. You, we're in this situation because of the way you've managed money. And now you want more, and you want us to hurt a little while, because the oligarchs and the powers that be, they still live like kings. They're never hurt. Oh, their reputation's hurt. They're smeared in the press, you know, but they don't really get hurt by this. It's the people that do.
Oh, absolutely. Every single time. I mean, it's laughable how you can look back over history, you know, everything from, you know, early Greece from now, you know, looking back. I mean, this isn't just Greece as a historical example, but you're looking back over Rome, over France, over England. Every single time the people have risen up and said, you know what? No, we're not going to take it anymore. And a leader emerges. Some point in time, they cave and say, okay, all right, we'll do what you tell us to do, and they cower like a dog. You know, they feel like they're beat enough. But it, there's just when the leadership doesn't stand strong and they don't decide to tell the children, hey, listen, your behavior is terrible. We're going to punish you or change the behavior. That's the thing. $50 billion is really not going to get them anywhere. The payment schedule still stands. Nothing has changed as far as the payment schedule.
Smoking.
They're still – right. They're still going to owe $1.5 billion a month plus interest. That's nothing has changed there. And I think that we're going to see Greece in about 3 or 4 months have major issues once again, because they're still spending. They haven't cut the pensions. Yeah, there's a deal on the table to cut the pensions, but nobody hears if that's going to be implicated or not. Honestly, I think what happened was I think that Syrpus got bullied into the situation. I think, yeah, there's going to be a deposit or haircut of some shape or form, whether it's like Cyprus or it's, you know, more than 30,000 euros is what they were talking about. It was the number being floated. This is not over yet. This the volatility.
It can't be. The math. I mean,
doesn't work.
Yeah.
Does not work.
Basically, they went out and got another $5,000 credit card. So that they could pay some of the interest on the $200,000 credit card accumulation that they can't pay back.
Yeah, it's just like a payday loan. They borrowed one payday loan to pay back another, which is one of the most dangerous things you can do in finance. I mean, this isn't over yet. There's 24 other countries in the world that are facing a full-blown debt crisis. I mean, everything from Armenia to Zimbabwe, all these clients in between. I mean, Ireland, Jamaica, Macedonia, Portugal, Spain. I mean, and honestly, truly, the pig nations, that's Portugal, Italy, Spain, and Greece, or Greece and Spain, they are the ones who are on the cusp the most. The next one we're going to be looking at, I think France has really said, you know what? We don't want in this. It's a failed currency. Marie Le Pen is absolutely – she wants out of this euro bad enough. And I think they'll do it in the next election.
England and Ireland are probably going to be on the chopping block too, aren't they?
Ireland's probably next, and we Irish, we don't like to live under the authority of a big global bank. We've never really done well with that as I look back over the history with my people.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out in the next. But the infection is going to spread. They've talked about this contagion. It's a real deal. This is far from over, and I think that anybody who says everything is calm and everything is all right, move along, there's nothing to see here, is just plain stupid.
Here's the thing that I want to tell the listeners. Don't let your foot off the gas pedal. Week and a half ago, when all this was going down, I saw people who had been meaning to prepare, been thinking about it. They knew that some point there could be a, you know, economic collapse, and Greece could trigger the whole thing. The dominoes are going to start falling and everything. And they're in like hyper prep mode. Okay, now they accepted the deal. The markets have calmed down. Everybody's like instantly back to business as usual, right? Okay, now while there's a lull, while there's a quiet, the calm before the storm, don't let up. You keep the same hyper active, keep it at the top of your priority list to prep now while you can, because this is only borrowed time. Remember.
Oh, agreed.
I cannot even recall how many analysts that I've heard, I mean, credible people that really know their stuff, economics, that are saying this fall, they're keeping everything temporarily propped up as long as they can. It's so wobbly, the legs that this facade is sitting on, that this fall is one of the most highly probable time windows for everything to come down when it does. And so don't let up. Be prepared to feed your family. Because in Greece, back me up on this, Fox, what it was the people on the street level that couldn't get basic items and commodities.
Yeah, and they were flat out panicked. It was interesting. I was watching some coverage by RT, and they had a camera on the street, and they were at a grocery store. And I kid you not, basic stuff. 5-pound bag of flour, not available. Bottled water, not available. Beans, some of their ethnic foods that they have over there, not available. You're right. We cannot, absolutely cannot take our foot off the pedal. Yes, it may feel like, hey, everything's back to normal again, or at least okay for the moment. I'm in the same situation. I watched people last week liquidating 401ks and calling me and talking to me about purchasing silver and gold. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, Greece did the deal. I guess we're going to be okay. I had to literally grab a man and shake him by the shoulders, physically shake him by the shoulders and say, man, you don't understand. This is a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah.
You cannot stop now. And this, it may feel like we're running at a breakneck pace here, but to the listening audience out there and everybody who's really, truly aware understands that, yes, this fall, again, is one of – there is a lot of data. PIMCO, the big bond company, PIMCO disdivested 3/4 of their bond holdings into cash. That right there
– really?
When Bill Gross did that with PIMCO, that is a huge, huge sign that he is not comfortable with what he's seeing in the bond world.
Okay, no. When he converted it into cash, what does that mean?
That means that the bonds that they were holding on their balance sheet, they liquidated and sold. I don't know how much they sold over what denomination, but they got rid of 3/4 of those bonds. Now, their total balance sheet is obviously astounding because they're a bond-backed company.
Yeah.
But when you liquidate 3/4 of your bonds, which is basically almost 95% of your business, and they're telling you, get out of bonds, stop, you know, being in bonds, and they're telling you, and you're seeing these subtle signs in the marketplace, get out. Watch what these guys do. That is a huge indicator. You know, some other indicators that we're seeing at the market as well, there are major, like Eric Sprott, he was telling people, it's time to sell, it's time to get out, it's time to be in cash. Other major investment firms, JP Morgan, Bank of America, have both put out memos in the last 3 months. They're telling their depositors, they're telling their stockholders, there will be another market crash. Jamie Dimon wrote a letter to the stockholders of his company. I think I covered it in Eye of the Economy a couple weeks back, where he said, there will be another market crash. You need to be ready for that. So all signs are pointing towards this fall. Now, if we put a date and time on it, obviously we're gonna blow our credibility here.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of financial indicators that are saying there is going to be some really troubling stuff. And to top all that off, the Chinese have finally released some numbers where they are increasing their gold holdings by 57% per month.
Wow.
But that is staggering. And then on top of that, they're going to have their yuan voted on in late August.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're with Fox 519 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back in just a moment.
Oh, I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of
history. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. Communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
This is Radio Free Redoubt on 6:30 a.m. KTW out of Spokane and live streaming. Thank you for joining us. We are with Fox 519 talking about economic issues, economic items, and kind of a unique, it's kind of one of those cloudy days for me. You know, when you travel and you've been going like nonstop, like you drive straight through for 2 days, but you have like 1 hour of sleep, you know, that fog that hangs over you and for the next 3 days, that's what it feels like right now. So help me out, brother.
You feel a little foggy there, my friend.
Yes. But it's all good. It's good. What a blessing. Huge blessing. It was just a whirlwind tour. I got to meet some. It's so encouraging, the level, the caliber, the intellectual, conservative, competent, capable, talented people that are in our see tyranny, and they see it on all levels, and they know how to make sense of it. They know how to analyze it for what it is, to, you know, to look through all the smoke and mirrors and just destroy all that and get right down to what truth is and what it means to us, and have an action plan. And that's encouraging to me, to be locked in arms, you know, with those kind of people.
Oh yeah. I think that, you know, I know I speak for our brothers and our sisters, but I also speak for the listenership, but I know that now is the time, and it is, we have to be bold to start to speak. And I think that enough is enough. I'm going to jokingly refer to Beck's thing, never again is now. Well, never again is not speaking up. It's not saying that we're not ready to stand up arm in arm and say what is happening is not right. It's kind of our last stand. I think that there's so much going on. If we think about what just happened in Chattanooga and, you know, what's going on with the financial markets, we're on this edge. And I think that, you know, yeah, you and I have both been feeling this for a long, long time. And I know that our friends are all feeling it.
What's maddening is to watch the news headlines
And these people are so – this is – remember, and I have to keep reminding myself, we are in spiritual warfare. Okay, so sometimes the Lord will put a veil over people's eyes. He will send a spirit of confusion over them. And so that's why you get an analyst, a specialist, a sought-after subject matter expert on national television when we are being attacked, because we're under judgment in America, and this is, we're just scratching the surface. This is the tip of the iceberg. So when a jihadist goes on an attack and you've got somebody saying, you know, you got somebody when being interviewed, he's saying, well, you know, hold on a minute. This guy, Muhammad Abdulaziz, we don't know if that's a Muslim name. So let's not jump to conclusions.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And everybody's jaws hit the floor. It's like you know, in America, it's, you know, the Richter scale, like, picked it up.
Well, we're so afraid. I mean, we're so quick in America to ban, and regardless of how the listenership feels about this, we're so quick to ban the Confederate flag, but yet nobody has stood up to say, then get rid of the black flag of ISIS. Do not allow it to be sold anywhere in America. We are so quick to stab our own people in the back. We as a nation don't want to bind together and stand for what's right. And I don't remember who said this, but it says if you don't stand for anything, somebody's going to make the choice for you where you stand.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to look at that. Whoever that analyst was, and his name escapes me, but he said, well, he's just an American, just like everybody else. Bull. This guy is not an American.
He's not like an American, like any American I've ever known.
I don't know of a single American who would go kill four Marines. Good brothers and sisters who, and I got to tell you, Whiskey 62, my guy, one of my guys, was really upset when he heard there were four Marines, because he's an ex-Marine, and it really upset him, as it should. It should upset every one of them.
Tom Fuentes was his name.
Well, to my opinion, Tom Fuentes is a traitor and an idiot and shouldn't be in his position.
Not absolutely certain that Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz is a Muslim.
Oh, my word.
So, but see, this is that veil. I mean, you know, we should probably obviously get some other opinions, you know, maybe get Hillary Clinton to find out, you know, what her take is. And of course, she would say, what difference does it make? You know, what does it matter?
If he's
Muslim or if he's American or if he's, you know, a jihadist that's, you know, been brought into our country. Thanks, Obama. You know, what does it matter?
Well, and granted, there's lots of details that are coming out about this guy, but we know he was here with his parents who had moved to America. We don't know officially if he was an American citizen or not. But the thing is it just kills me. We look at Muslim terrorism over the past 10 years. Everything from Lockerbie, which was a way far ago, to what happened in Texas at the Draw of Muhammad. We got the underwear bomber. We've got the guys who did 9/11. The thing that just kills me is that the religion of Islam is a violent, violent religion. I know our friend Sharam would absolutely, and he could speak for hours on the subject, can tell you there are two houses of Islam. Dar al-Islam, and then there's the other one.
Yep.
Right now, we are in the pre-house of Islam that talks about war and jihad and everything going on. We are not in the house of Islam peace where they have occupied a country. They are in war with us.
Yeah, and we discussed that at length this week. And, you know, that's like Representative Shea and I were talking, you know, the fastest way to lose a fight is to not recognize that you're in one.
Oh, and, absolutely.
They are at war with us. No, we are not at war with Islam. We never will be at war with Islam. That's the grand potentate speaking there, right? But the jihadists are very clear that they are at war with the West, specifically America and Israel.
The funny thing is we got to look at solutions to this, and it just – I've been trying to study history to look at how do you deal with an enemy inside your country? Because how do we even morally approach this? Because if we round up all Muslims, I mean, that just – we go down a path there that's just really tough.
They know that. That's why this is very strategic to bring them in. 888-999-7684. That's the number. We're going to open up the phone lines in case anybody else wants to weigh in on this discussion. This is the brilliance of this strategy. It's evil, but it's brilliant. They're bypassing the visa legal immigrant process, and they are forcing in Muslims under the immigration. That means it's fast tracked in, because this administration loves fast tracking things. Things that are just so pressing, we have to bypass the normal process because this is a very, very special, unique circumstance. We can't be bogged down with, you know, visas and waiting lists because these people's lives are in danger. So we need to just hurry up and get them here, right? We can't hurry up and get them to another part of the Middle East where there's not a conflagration going on, or, you know, Europe or any other country that would take them in. We're going to force them, you know, into America because we're against hate, you know, and we want to show how loving we are. So we're going to bring an entirely different culture that's designed by design. Its intentions are to undermine our culture. We're going to bring them all in. We're going to fast track them in so fast, in fact, that our highest level intelligence agencies will not be able to keep up with discovery on who these people are and what their motives are. That's treason.
It is treason, and anyone who backs that should absolutely not be in the position that they're in. I really, truly today want to hear.
That would take out our entire administration then, because they're full of Muslims and communists.
Yeah, I really want to hear what the listeners have to say on this subject, because I know we've got some loyal ones. But what I want to hear is solutions. What are we looking at here? You know, what's it going to take to rout these guys out? And I think it's an interesting thing we've got to do, but I would love to hear from the listeners today on that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that awareness, public awareness is all your fan. Hey, Fox.
Yes.
Your fan.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm back now. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's Fox 519's biggest fan.
And it is a big fan. There's no doubt about that.
It's 100 degrees in his office studio, so he's got the fan going on.
Today, yes.
Just don't lean to the left or the right. the solution is public awareness, you know, at this point, and pushback by the citizens. And I've seen this in Idaho when you know they're discussing, you know, advancing, you know, Islam and the. Well, in fact, that bill, that child support family protection so-called bill, opening up the door for Sharia, and the very same bill that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, had a huge interest in seeing how far that bill was progressing. That was a red flag right there. Well, the people pushed back against it, and they knocked it back down. And the left went crazy in the media. Oh, you hate children, right? They will do everything they can to protect this Islamization agenda. And they'll, you know, under the umbrella of every other it's just pure deception.
Well, look at that knucklehead, what they call a mayor in Seattle. I mean, he's trying to free up funds to allow houses of Sharia to buy property in the Seattle area.
Yes. I mean,
that is just flat out dangerous.
Right.
To allow Sharia to take place in America.
That's right.
You are asking for problems.
Oh, because Muslims cannot take a loan and pay interest, to a lender. You cannot charge a Muslim interest. So – what they do is they created this problem. I was briefed on this week, and I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at my notes. But they – I don't know if it's not a stipend. It's a – basically, it's they pay for the interest up front, and it's – they adjust the price of the home or something like that. Well, anyway, they're fast-tracking Muslims into homes. And bypassing the interest process that, you know, the rest of us have to pay. And it was one of those using the argument that they use for advancing homosexuality or anything else with the, you know, equality or not equality, but what is it? Equal access? No, fair.
Fair housing. Then there's the fair housing laws, and then there's also this agenda that the president's pushing, where he wants to be able to take lower income individuals and families and try. It's the fair housing Equality Act or something to that effect. But basically, they're going to be able to plug in individuals in communities that are more affluent or what they consider more affluent. And so they're using this as the ability to say, well, not allowing them to buy a house in this area is actually discriminatory to them. No. Allowing them to buy a house is allowing them to integrate into communities. And we're not saying, and we want to make sure the listenership, we're not saying there needs to be segregation in America. But what we're saying is what they're trying to do is to fast track these individuals into our various communities so they can gain a foothold. If we look at what that Seattle mayor is doing from a progressive left standpoint, he's allowing houses of Sharia worship, businesses, not houses, businesses to be put into communities for houses of worship.
Hey, a self-proclaimed homosexual advancing the expansion of Islam in his own community. See how that's going to work out for him down the road.
Oh, that's the crazy thing.
It's insanity.
They throw these people off rooftops. They're going to slice their throats in this street.
You're talking about back on July 8th. Actually, I covered this. The HUD Secretary Julian Castro announced the finalization of the Obama administration's affirmatively furthering fair housing rule.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It just blows me away that the homosexual community is backing this and saying, but do you realize what is going to happen if Sharia law is put into America? We are going to see they're whatever they call them, brothers, sisters, lovers, whatever.
Hey,
they are going to be they're going to be killed in the streets.
You have two doctrines that are both demonically influenced, and it really comes down to being at war against God. So that condition will create some strange bedfellows. Muslims and homosexuals, bedfellows. That's funny. Hey, we're at the end of our time, man. We got to go, but man, it went fast. God bless all of you. You have a great week, and join us tomorrow night at RadioFreeReadout.com at 8 p.m. for our podcast. God bless.